Anyway, guys, we really hope you guys are enjoying everything you are hearing. If you are, do us a huge favor by rating and reviewing us on iTunes. It will help us out tremendously by even letting people know we even exist. Again, curious how to get a hold of us? The email is vegasconfessionspodcast@gmail.com. Maybe you want to call in. That's okay with us, too. The voicemail line is area code 559-461-7488. Again, guys, do not be afraid to leave your story. We want to hear all about it. Yes, you can cuss, and oh, yeah, you can be anonymous. That's okay, too. We know some of us are a little embarrassed about something you've seen, quote unquote.
When the fuck did I ever ask you if I could come out here? Get this through your head, Get this through your head, you Jew motherfucker, you. You only exist out here because of me. That's the only reason. Without me, you... Personally, every fucking wise guy still around, I'll take a piece of your fucking Jew ass. Then where you gonna go? Your fucking warrant don't ever go over my fucking head again, you motherfucker, you.
Peekaboo, you fucks you. I see you, you motherfuckers.
You wanna talk, or do you wanna bet?
We had 2 bags of grass, 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of high-powered blotter acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine, a whole galaxy of multicolored uppers, downers, screamers, laughers, also a quarter tequila, quarter rum, case of beer, pint of raw ether, 2 dozen emails.
Having cards is a foolproof system.
It's also illegal.
It's not illegal, it's frowned upon, like masturbating on an airplane.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal, too.
Yeah, maybe after 9/11, where everybody gets so sensitive. Thanks a lot, Vinmod.
No shit, man.
What the fuck,
I'm
dude?
I'm excited.
I'm not fucking used to this at all. So, sorry, dude. Yeah, I was out a little... Hell of a nice guy, by the way. He was, flew in from Ohio, so trying to get tomorrow set up and what that looks like. But yes. All right.
Is he a cool guy?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, like basically he's the one that builds buildings. He builds them, designs them. He tells everybody to fuck off, and then I take them over. That's kind of what that looks like.
You're kind of guy.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, tell me to fuck off. I'm fine with that. So that's fucking awesome. Cool. All right. Well, man, I might sound kind of echoey a little bit because it's an executive suite, but there's this window booth desk thing, and I couldn't figure out where else to put my stuff. So hopefully it works out. But anyway, let's go ahead and roll into this. Sound cool?
Sounds good.
All right, here we go. So, hey, everybody. Welcome again to a Vegas Confessions that we didn't think we were going to pull off this weekend. For those of you who have listened, I got a lot of shit going on my side, and my brother Julian has been beyond patient just with everything. It's just been hectic, the move and the house move, stuff like that. But I did manage to bring some portable equipment with me. Got that set up. It's looking good. So what we're going to do on this episode, we're going to cover, the move, obviously. You know, it's a pain in the ass, but it is what it is. 5 hours from Vegas, which is awesome. I never thought I'd live in a place where every sign on the fucking freeway said, this way to Vegas. Fucking fantastic.
Nice.
It is cool, dude. It's cool. I took a picture today and posted on Twitter after I finally caught up. You know, it's like, 15 south, 5 hours down, straight down to Vegas. It's beyond cool. We're going to cover that. We're going to cover Benny Binion, which we guys promised you actually last episode. And this one may get a little raunchy. I'll put some notes in the show notes about we're talking about strip clubs. Not that we're not raunchy, but if you don't like the word snatch, you might not want to listen. So
yeah, Vegas Confessions and raunchy kind of goes together.
I know, right? So that's kind of what we're going to do this time. It's kind of a fun episode. Might go a little long. And then just for future, Julie and I were talking about doing a pre-Ocean's 14 type thing, and we'll cover that in the future. I do want to do two quick shout-outs, actually, because I don't want to forget people, and I don't want them to think that we forgot them or I forgot them. So, in the midst of all this evolution, in this growing and trying to make the podcast better, and you guys have been, hanging on and just being great fans and great listeners. I do want to say Michael Mavestro off Now Vegas Unst. thank you. I know I said at the very beginning on what's going on, but you know, your help with sound and which way to go, and you got to check them out, Vegas Owens Podcast. It's awesome. I was listening to that flying into Salt Lake on Friday, and it just set up such a cool backdrop of just listening to that in the background as we land to our new home. You know, it was just beyond cool. And I also want to throw a shout out for Chris from Faces and Aces. Always willing to reach out to help. Always willing to you know, ideas to bounce off of them. Definitely really, really cool. And Faces and Aces is returning soon. So stand by for that one. What do you got on your side, Julian?
Also on that note, speaking of Vegas Uns Podcast, you know, I've been seeing a lot of people put on Twitter this week that they've heard the second episode and they're very, very pleased. So that's very good. I got that lined up next on my phone. So I think I'll be listening to that tomorrow morning.
That's
and
cool.
Also on the Chris's from Faces and Aces note, this is how good of a guy he is. He was in Vegas, I believe, Wednesday, meeting up with Chris Moore and his family because they had a soccer tournament this weekend. So they were out there, and he actually went out there to hang out with them for a day. But I knew the guy was busy, and I had a quick question on Skyping and just working with the podcast. And sure enough, I call him up, calls me right back on his way home from Vegas, heading home. He's just telling me a little bit about how the day went and his little trip recap. And, you know, of course, he answered all my questions. And again, that's just what this community is made of, man. Just some really, really good people.
Right. So that's so
and
cool.
And as far as shout outs go, I'm going to give a couple birthday shout outs we had this week. We have three of our people from basically our community who had birthdays this week. And on Monday, we had Joe Q from San Diego. On January 8th was his birthday. We also had Saul from the Las Vegas Junkie podcast. His birthday was Tuesday. And we had our good friend, Mr. Eric Rosenthal, had a birthday on Wednesday, January 10th. So, of course, we gave everybody shout outs, and, you know, it's what we do. And, you know, those good friends of ours. So, again, guys, happy birthday. Hope you guys had a great week, man.
That is cool. Yeah, no, always, man. The birthdays, and there's so many. It seems like it's getting more and more and more, which is kind of cool. So
yeah, it's really growing. It's pretty neat.
So real quick, too, there's an update on Zorkfest, kind of, because we don't want you guys to forget about it. That was a little trip that we took to Atlantic City, which is kick-ass. This year, they're going to actually do it in Vegas. They're close, so everybody kind of stand by. They're trying to get their ducks in a row, do some of the last-minute stuff. Hopefully, here in the next couple weeks, we'll hear something. We'll be able to release that, and you guys should hear that as well. And then also, for those of you who know, here, fucking A, what, 2 weeks, man? Is it 2 weeks? 3 weeks. 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks, bud.
Two goddamn weeks. Ocean's 14. It should be cool. This is my first one. Julian's been here before. Just beyond cool. So that's going to be pretty kick ass. And,
well, I've never been to Vegas for Super Bowl. We went to Laughlin last year, me and the wife. So we'll actually be our first time in Vegas Super Bowl week.
Yeah. So we're going to do that. We got actually something real quick. I think, Julian, you had something you want to cover that was kind of a shitty thing that happened.
Yeah. Pretty crazy. You know, we don't really talk about a lot of the news updates and stuff like that, but we're going to kind of change it up this week. I mean, it's just been an interesting week, Shane. We've had two Las Vegas casinos robbed this week.
No shit.
Very That's
fucking weird.
Yeah, very interesting. So check this out. On Wednesday, about 1 a.m., January 10th, a masked robber revealed his gun in his waistband to the cage clerk, who then handed over an undisclosed amount of cash. This guy ultimately escaped in a taxi. Okay,
see, and then shit, the balls on people. That's what fucking gets
right.
me.
Right.
Oh.
You know, yeah, I exactly. You know, there's cameras everywhere. There's people everywhere. And let's not even forget to mention the security and police everywhere. So just nuts, dude. And then what was it on Saturday, yesterday, January 13th at 1:30 in the afternoon, a man armed with a black handgun demanded money from the cashier. The cashier complied, and the man made off with $10,000 cash. And him and his getaway car did hit a wall of Alice Island before eluding police.
That's not fucking funny because that is awful, but still. It's like really, fucking really people. Didn't you say something about like he escaped in an Uber, or was that another story? Did I miss beat on
that?
I
think that was the cross between the guy escaping in the taxi from the New York.
But this guy, dude.
Yeah, no shit, dude. And especially the layout of Alice Island, that's one of our favorite spots. Yep. And you know, the cashier's way in the back. Yeah. And apparently they said he went through the back door or whatever it was, and he made his move. But they have plenty of pictures of the people, and just nuts, man.
Me. Yeah, and the shitty thing is, too, because Ellis Island, for those of you who don't know, is a small casino. You know, it's not really on the strip, but it's a block off. We love it because it is small. It's family-owned. You know, you always guarantee to have a good time there. That's shitty. That's shitty to have that happen. I fucking hate hearing that. That sucks, dude. Oh, man. You know, and on top of that is people that have the fucking balls to try to rob. I couldn't even in my, dude, maybe if I was still like terminally ill and I had nothing else to live for, maybe. I still couldn't fucking wrap my mind around that shit. It blows my mind.
Well, even on that note, it's like, you know, okay, we'll be in Vegas 2 weeks.
Right, right.
These casinos are already on high alert, and we have a group of idiots called Ocean's 14 coming into the Vegas in 2 weeks. I mean, let's just be real. We might be being watched for a while.
Shit, I hope I make it back in time and don't land in jail somehow. We'll fucking see what happens. God damn it. Yeah, okay, maybe that's bad fucking karma on our side and what we will fucking do. That's fucking funny. Well, you know, I mean, that's a shitty deal. I don't wish on anybody, but, you know, I mean... You know, I guess it is what it is. Talking about robbing, I guess, and money, we're going to kind of roll into something that we talked about kind of in the beginning. We touched on it, not really on a lot of episodes, but we decided to throw out here. Julian's done some research, and so...
Hit me.
You have 17, sir.
I like to live dangerously.
Hey, these seats taken? Feel free.
All right, let's play some blackjack.
Hey, come on, he can't lose. He can't lose.
I think the pit boss is watching us.
So that leads us into gambling superstitions, and man, I'm going to let you kind of kick that off. I think you did some looking up and shit on your side.
Yeah, so check this out. I've looked over a bunch of different games, facts, and the history of gambling superstitions, and I just got some interesting notes. So here's the first fact. Over 80% of gamblers admit they have superstitions or have some kind of superstition that they believe in as far as certain games or etiquette or just getting ready to go down to the casino floor itself. 80% themselves said they believe or seen or acknowledge that superstitions exist.
No so, shit. That's a fucking huge number, dude. I didn't think it was going to be that much.
Here's a big one. With Asians, the color red is very, very big on with them. So that being said, they like to wear the color red, and if they don't have it on them, usually they're wearing red underwear, but it's considered to influence their luck at the casino.
Yeah, red means but power. Does that have anything to do with
not that
maybe?
I've checked. I can't tell you.
Yeah, dude, start pulling fucking underwear. See what happens. Give them all fucking like snuggies and see who's wearing red, who's not. You can only bound to piss off like one or two Asians, maybe at the most.
So another one I'm going to get into is unlucky and lucky numbers. So a lucky number, the luckiest number in the casino for the Chinese players and Asian players is said to be the number 8. It's the luckiest because it's pronounced ba, which sounds similar to the Chinese word fa, which means prosperity.
Hmm.
So some unlucky numbers is the number 4. It's very unlucky to the Chinese because when it's pronounced, it sounds like death in Chinese.
Okay, point taken. I get that one, dude.
The number 13, very unlucky with gamblers. Most hotels in Las Vegas don't even have a 13th floor. If there was, it's likely that gamblers wouldn't stay at these hotels. Here's an interesting one. $50 bills are considered unlucky to gamblers. Even casinos don't try to pass them out. Also was said that mobsters would tuck $50 bills in the pockets of victims buried in the desert.
No, okay. Don't spread that rumor out because now people are going to go digging that shit up. Literally.
Also, here's some poker ones. These are considered poker, more or less. There's no singing or whistling while the game is played. It's considered bad luck.
I've heard about that.
There's also not supposed to be... You're not supposed to be counting your chips while playing the game. That's considered unlucky as well. No crossing your legs while playing. And no touching on others on the shoulders or mentioning of books because it sounds similar to lose in Chinese.
I heard the book thing.
And
that's funny.
Also, yeah. Most gamblers have a lucky shirt, socks, hat, or even a pair of shoes. And then this one was really interesting. So check this out. A second place $4.2 million winner at a 2005 World of Series poker gave credit to his polo shirt that he had been wearing for 7 days straight.
Nasty motherfucker. Nobody's sitting anywhere near him. No wonder he was winning.
Yeah, they wanted to cash out.
No shit.
He also arrived to all the poker games in an even-numbered taxi and never entered a casino through the front door. Yeah.
So
people's superstitions
weird.
Or something else.
No, it's just fucking amazing.
Washing your hands. It's believed that if you wash your hands and you're on a hot run, you shouldn't do that because you're going to bring bad luck to yourself. Now, if you're on a bad run, you need to run to the nearest freaking restroom.
No shit up. That's, yeah, and I know there's a lot of superstitions, just for anything, but fucking gambling in general. I mean, I know a lot of people that, you know, they won't play, you know, if something is paid out and the cents is not in even numbers, and they won't play that one because that's bad luck. Or, I mean, it's just so fucking
right.
This other guy, he was, God, I can't remember his name, Johnny Chang? He used to be a professional poker player. I don't think he does it anymore, but he used to bring an orange and set it on the poker table. No matter where, game he
Mandarins,
did.
Tangerines, yeah.
Is that what it was? Yeah,
that's
yeah,
very,
yeah.
Yeah. That's another one that was real popular with the Chinese players is mandarins and oranges.
That's funny.
Because they're considered to be bringing good luck as well. Another one. Rubbing the machine. From time to time, you may see slot players rub the machine in hopes of triggering a bonus or even hitting a jackpot for that matter. In the game of craps, a big superstition is when the dice falls off the table. And you always should call for the same dice because new dice may bring bad luck.
Oh, is that your thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I honestly, when I throw the dice off the table, it's usually when I had a couple drinks in me already. But usually I'll call for same dice.
Right.
And when it's other players and other rollers, and I have a lot of money out there, if I'm drunk enough, I'll just say call all my bets off, just because I know usually happens.
Yeah.
Here's my last one. This is the big one for me. It says, having sex before gambling. Also believed by many, having sex before hitting the casino floor is bad luck. So in that case, go slap some tables first before slapping some ass.
Jesus, calm down. Fucking slapping tables. Yeah, and I'm sure there's many more. I mean, fuck, God. It was, I mean, I started researching. I finally threw it to Julian. I was like, dude, I can't keep up here. I don't know what's going on.
There's
a lot, dude. What I ended up was, you know, we could spend days just covering superstitions, gambling. There were some quotes that I pulled that I thought were kind of cool. I'll throw a couple of those out there. I was rolling to what else we're going to do here. The first quote actually was from Mario Puzo. All gamblers are paranoid, though they call it superstition. I thought that was fucking right up the alley what we're
Very
talking
true.
About
yeah.
right now.
Very true.
True. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a fine line, right? And this is one, actually, this is from an anonymous gambler back in the 50s, 60s. The cards and chips have hearts and souls, and you can't help but to try to get in touch with them when you gamble. I thought that was kind of, you know, poetic of sorts, I'm sure. There's so many cool things and cool quotes and everything about gambling. And to use gambling superstitions as a jump off on this one, we had a part two of something that we wanted to share with you guys that we promised you. So, everybody, we actually are going to cover kind of the second half of Benny Binion. So, on last week's episode, we left the Cape Crusader and his sidekick, Robin. I'm just kidding. I wanted to sound excited about the whole thing. But we kind of left you at a cliffhanger. The history segment about this is going to be a little bit different. Usually, we cover properties and what we do with those properties and what they are. Sometimes the characters kind of come into play, obviously. This one is going to spill more towards the character side and the property, but just because there's so much stuff in the background of this dude, we couldn't help but to not do it. So, Julian?
Yeah, so we left off. Benny Binion purchased the El Dorado Club, which also included the Apache Hotel in 1951. He did some renovations and opened the property as Binion's Horseshoe Club. A little back history of our boy Benny. Born in Pilot Grove, Texas, as a Lester Ben Binion on November 20th, 1904, he had health problems right from the start, which kept him out of regular school, traveling with his father, who was a horse trader, Being in the outdoors helped cure most of his health ailments, but being without formal education, he relied on mostly what encountered and what his dad had taught him, which was, guess anyone? Of course, gambling.
Here we go, rolling into it. So we don't have enough fucking time to cover all of his criminal background because there is quite a slew, you know, safe to say. It started around 1924, included everything from concealed weapon charges, theft, murder convictions, mind you, which evidently nobody gave a shit in those days. Didn't really mean a whole sack of shit to anybody or including the law, you know, because nobody ever fucking got in trouble for it. He moved to El Paso, got into moonshining, which obviously is that's the next thing you're going to do. Got bigger and better with that. Shifted to Dallas, where Dallas was big, and he decided he was going to pick up another hobby and dice in the numbers game. So some of you may be asking, or maybe fucking none of you give a shit, I don't know, about how he gained reputation of being somewhat of a cowboy-type character. Well, other than being born in Texas, in 1931, he actually shot a rum runner by the name of Frank Boulding. A cowboy style is what they say. And to add to that, he was convicted of the murder, but only received a 2-year suspended sentence. Never fucking went to jail. Never saw anything. I don't know. You know, it was an African-American bootlegger. I don't know if that had something to do with it. But just, I mean, as I read this shit in history, my jaw fucking drops. It just amazes me every time.
So as his dice game and gambling expanded, he soon was pretty much the mob boss of Dallas. Until the real mob boss showed up from Chicago in 1946 and chased old Benny Binion right the fuck back out of Texas to Las Vegas. So to fast forward to 1951, where we left off, the purchase of the El Dorado and the name change was just the tip of the iceberg. In the same year, Benny also lost his gambling license due to tax fraud. He returned to Dallas on a supposed deal, but was thrown in jail and had his sales shares of horseshoes to cover costs. It took him until 1963 to gain all of the casino back. He was notoriously known for high limit bets, and that's where he gained most of his fame. He also was one of the first casino owners to offer free drinks to his players, which became a trend set for Vegas in general. And as most of you know, he was the founder of the World Series of Poker, which he quoted in 1973 to say, "This may be a big thing. Maybe someday we'll have up to 50 players." In 2006, the main event alone had 8,773 players signed up.
Maybe fucking 50. Maybe 50. That's so fucking cool. That's amazing. And actually, we didn't see it, but it was, we saw where it was at, and they were doing the whole renovation down there. Remember downtown?
Right.
That was fucking, I wish we could have seen that in the heyday. I mean, that would have blown my mind. That's so neat to see shit like that.
Well, we walked into the poker room when they had just stripped everything out. Was that right?
Yeah. It was all stripped down. They were changing it. And I don't know what they ended up, it's got to be done now, but I don't know what they ended up changing it to. So,
well, the plan was they were supposed to make it like a training course for new games and stuff like that for people to learn. That's what was said. So.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, you know, again, back in the day. So, you know, Benny Binion continued to carry himself as what he thought a true cowboy should be. Even though he couldn't carry guns because he was a felon, it was rumored he had always had a six-shooter on him. He was always involved in the rodeo, loved the rodeo whenever he came to Vegas. And even now to this day, and I had to like check it out and look it up just to make sure it was still going on, there's a bull sale held during the NFR that's called Benny Binion's World Famous Bucking Horse and Bull Sale. This still kind of goes on, which is cool. He died of a heart failure in Vegas at the age of 85 on December 25th, 1989. His name and legacy continues in Vegas, and in 1990 was inducted into the Poker Hall of Fame. If any of you guys, again, you know, we cover just a brief tip of the iceberg on a lot of this history stuff because it's so convoluted and so much, you know, going on. But if there's anything that you really want to dive into, we did find a book, Blood Aces, Wild Ride of Benny Binion, the Texas gangster who created Vegas Poker, actually written by Doug J. Swanson. I looked it up. Amazon runs like $13.99. You can find it in other shops, other stores. Pretty detailed. This is the one book that really kind of covers his thing. You know, he had kids and he had family and everything like that. And there was all kinds of other stories too. But, you know, obviously we didn't have time and there's so much. But, you know, I remember just going to Vegas. I don't know about you, man, but When his name was one of the first ones that popped up, especially when you head to downtown. Like, that's what you hear.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And it's one of the most recognizable buildings. I mean, you see it. It's one of the first things you see most of the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. And again, that's why I actually digging into this. Well, wait a minute. The Apache Hotel. I kept seeing these old pictures, and I put two and two together. Bam. You know, that's what you got going on. So anyway, so hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Really interesting in what's going on. You know, and we'll continue to cover that. Again, if you guys want any, if you have any stories or anything specific, like, hey, I was always wondering about, you can reach us at vegasconfessionspod@gmail.com. Write us, let us know. We'll go ahead and we'll try to do research and we'll throw it out there for you. But, this is something that we have been wanting as I rub my hands together like a creepy old man.
Herpes is for life, bro.
Yeah, well, I'm going to try to definitely put some sort of medical ointment on it. I've been taking Vicodin. That doesn't really take the swelling down, though.
It's from that time I told you, man. You wanted to eat that lollipop out of that stripper's snatch. You wanted to do it.
Out of her vagina, I know. Remember what you did? What'd you do?
Nothing.
You ate a box of nerds out of her butthole.
Oh, you fucking said you wouldn't tell.
So we wanted to cover strip clubs. This all okay, and you know, Julian, you can put your two cents in too, but I'll kind of start kind of before we get into some of the clubs. Number one, for those of you who don't know, I was in the Navy, so it was in the goddamn contract that I had to go to strip clubs around the world. It was in the contract. There's nothing I could do. I mean, you know, when you sign the piece of paper in the Navy, they give you the funny hat, you got to get a tattoo, you got to go to strip clubs. That's what it is. So, you know, my hands were tied.
Those are the three requirements?
Those are the fucking three requirements. And I still have that funny Dixie hat, too, by the way. You fucker, you make fun of my, you know, Jerry Sailor shit all the time. But, yeah, I looked exactly like that. I was wandering around like Hong Kong. Yeah, no shit.
In the Navy.
Fucking so embarrassing. But, you know, so I've known these. I've been to strip clubs around the world. Not that my wife wants me to say that, but it's just what it is. And there was other stuff, too, on, you know, I catch some social feeds back and forth, and people ask a question, you know, well, you know, do you need to go to a strip club to make that your Vegas experience? Like, does that wrap up everything? Can you not say that you've truly been to Vegas if you don't know a strip club? No, that's not true. You know, if you don't go to a strip club, it's not a big deal. I mean, you know, everybody has, you know, whatever they want to do. Does it help? Fuck yeah, it probably does help. You know, and it's nothing else. It's a fun story. It's fun. Fuck yeah, it's fun. It's expensive. I mean, you know, if you gamble and go to the strip club, you're going to probably fucking not come back with nothing. But if you're not a huge gambler.
Either way.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking. But if you're not a big gambler, you know, and you got that extra cash and you just want to go fucking have some titties in your face, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the strip club. So, with that being said, you know, again, Vegas is just amazing form. And so we broke down, there's a bunch, mind you, we'll cover some small ones in the end, but we kind of took what we thought was the top like eight, and we're just going to go back and forth and read them, tell you what they are. Again, if you want to, any more questions, any more information, I did email, you know, if we hear back from there's a couple people I kind of emailed, and maybe in future episodes we'll have them on to cover, you know, how strip clubs fuck you again in more ways than one. Right. But, you know, we didn't have any email back, so, you know, it is what it is. So we'll cover what we have going on here. We'll go for it, so I hope you guys enjoy. So, yeah, Julian, kick it off, man.
Awesome. So Crazy Horse. At more than 4,000 square feet, the Crazy Horse has plenty of room to check out plenty of asses. Located just west of Mandalay Bay, it's pretty easy to get from the Strip. It's open 24 hours, shocking, and for a strip club... As far as strip clubs go, it's a pretty clean place. Almost laid out like a club or sports bar. Cover can be as much as $50, but here's a tip. Just the tip. Call for a free limousine service and you will get a discount on the cover. This place also has great late night menu, which also includes sushi of all things.
Yeah, I don't know. Sushi in a strip club, I don't think you
that's
can
what
tell
I
the difference.
Yeah,
exactly. Is it the sushi that smells, or is it the other thing? Anyway, so the next one we're going to cover is called Sapphire. So one of the largest strip clubs in Vegas, with just over 70,000 square feet and private champagne-filled skyboxes. This place defines what a great strip club should be. There's even a pool to entertain dayside club parties, evidently outside. What's fucking cool is the Rockstar Lounge. So I was reading this, I was like, oh my god, this is cool. Which features a glass top view of the girls dancing above. So you can sit below and you can watch them dance from above. Yeah, right. I want to know who fucking, there's a lot of Windex that cleans that shit up every day, I'm sure. There are packages available which also include free limo rides, but we do wonder what free really means. It's a fucking strip club, so you know it's not free by the time you get there. That might be free, but other things aren't going to be free. And for the ladies or the lady boys, again, neutral gender, it's a free world, whatever goes on nowadays. On Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, there's a Men of the Sapphire show that plays in a separate room in the club. So, you know, there's that thing too.
The Centerfolds. This is a cool strip club that has awesome location right across the street from Planet Hollywood. For those of you that may have been there in the past, this was formerly known as the Club Paradise. But due to credit card charges and scams, it changed owners. Yeah, it changed owners and reopened as Centerfolds. This place has specials like Schoolgirl Sundays.
Fucking, oh my god. Okay.
It has a cool late night menu. And if you're there for a convention and you show your badge, you're in like Flynn for free. There's also a cool after party that celebrates there for those who may be lucky enough to be a part of the AVN Awards. Fucking love Ron Jeremy.
Oh, fucking A, I love Ron Jeremy. I would, one of these days, I've drank his rum, I would love to run into him. Schoolgirl fucking Sundays. That's just, that's wrong on so many levels. So this other one, this is called Little Darlings. This is where we cover the rules and regulations of Las Vegas. So it's illegal to serve liquor and have full nudity, just FYI. That's why most of the strip clubs will be topless only and serve liquor. This is one strip club that you want to actually possibly see a vagina. You can, as you sip on a cool, refreshing glass of Pepsi, because there's no alcohol served here. So with that being said, there is a free, unlimited supply of soda available that you can fill up on. If you're into that sort of thing. So covers run around 35, but on Mondays with the coupon, locals can get in for 15.
Interesting. So note to self, if you want to see Pootie Tang, you got to drink pop.
Yeah, that's exactly it. They don't trust you evidently, huh?
Fuck. Okay. So the next one's called Palomino. Okay. So remember how we covered the laws above for full nudity in Vegas? Well, fucking forget that. At Palomino Club, full nudity and liquor is a commonplace here. This place was opened in 1969 and was grandfathered in due to old laws and loopholes. Shocking.
Yeah, right.
We would think someone would have caught that by now, but that's really all we have to say about this club. You know where we'll be.
Dude, I've got a question for you and this is fucking done, and you know what that question is. So anyway, as we move on, the next one we're going to cover is called Cheetahs. Some cool things about this club that we didn't know. So first off, the fucking awful movie Showgirls. If you guys like that show, all power to you. That's fine. It was filmed here, evidently, featuring the cool teen Elizabeth Berkeley that was an innocent student on Saved by the Bell. And to top it off, it's actually owned by a retired wrestler known as the Godfather. I shit you not about that. I actually looked that up to make sure that was the fucking truth. Again, open 24 hours a day. They offer free wings at happy hour. Whenever the fuck happy hour is. I couldn't find those infos. So that's, again, that's Cheetahs, owned by a fucking ex-wrestler. And yeah, that awful other show. So
the next one's going to be Treasures. This place is off the hook. Set up like a giant mansion. You can even order steaks or lobster from the on-site steakhouse. There is a free limo service. And we think pretty cool for maybe a private party. We smell a trip coming on.
There you go. I don't know how many people we can convince off our group to go there, but, you know, maybe for pool or funds. That sounds kind of cool. And this one here, Julian, I don't know if this rings a bell for you with your little story. So I introduce you to the Hustlers Club. I believe you had a quick story last week, right? Was that the one you and your wife went to?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There you go. So this is a three-level club full of energy, which is this. Again, this is how it describes. This place is great for energy. Private events. I know. Only you know. As well as 11 suites for wink, wink, whatever you want, and three skyboxes. Bright colors, action-packed. This place seems like it earns a Larry Flint name. Although, I don't think you described energy necessarily. Did you on your side? I think you described something else.
I think I must have missed that part.
As you walk in the door and slide all the way to your seat that's 20 feet away. God.
Yeah. The next one's going to be called Spearmint Rhino. This one just has a cool fucking name. As well as being off the coolest newly renovated strip clubs in Vegas with four stages. A new revamp to their kitchen where you can have from a burger to peanut butter and jelly banana sandwich, yeah, which was Elvis's favorite weird food.
Yeah.
This place really doesn't give you a reason to leave. Cleaned and open 24 hours a day. But with that being said, the prices are a little spendy, but the girls are really top notch. Definitely worth checking out.
See, so I've heard about this one. I've actually, and a lot of people say Spearmint Rhino, what a clever name, by the way, is that's where all the high ends go. So again, remind me after this is done. I got questions for you. I got two challenges for you there, brother. And we'll see if we can't pull them off.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I know where this shit's going. So we found out there are a lot of fucking strip clubs in Vegas, honestly. You know, it is, you can't even shake a stick at them. The thing is, people don't realize that they're even there because nobody really leaves the strip. So they're kind of hidden in pockets and everything around Vegas. There's some downtown as well, you know, spread all over. So the ones we covered are what we found worth having a review on. We read about, you know, what they were, what they kind of look like, some of the reviews back and forth. There are a few more worth mentioning if you're a complete fucking creepo that does nothing but go into these strip clubs. This is what you want to do. So Club Platinum, which is a tiny little club near Tuscany. Babe's Cabaret, which is in Henderson, Deja Vu, and I remember back in the day when I was in the Navy, I think Deja Vu had a fucking sign on the outside saying something like 50 beautiful girls and 3 ugly ones or some shit like that. I fucking thought it was so fucking catchy. And this is how good Deja Vu is. It has a downloadable pass from the web, which knocks $45 off your cover down to free. So, hey, it must be worth it, right? There's also an OG gentleman's club. Sophia's and Talk of the Town, which evidently locals love. So Talk of the Town must be the, you know, I don't know, the local hangout type thing. So, and I remember driving by, I think actually going back to the airport, if I was mistaken, which one was it here? I think I drove by the Club Platinum. And literally it's like this fucking, if it's the one I'm thinking of, it looks like a tiny little box with a cover on it. Like there's nothing out there. There's fucking nothing out there. But I think it's kind of on the, you know, as you can go back way to the airport out that way. So anyway, that's kind of the main thing. So here's my question and my challenge. Number one. So okay. I think if we have time, maybe not on this trip, although it would be cool on this trip, you have to do a food review at one of these strip clubs. Which means you're going to have to go into one of these fucking strip clubs, which means I'm going to have to go in one of these strip clubs because I'm going to be with you more than likely. So it's a fucking lose-lose situation all the way around the board. Because this whole fucking Spearmint Rhino peanut butter banana sandwich thing, I just want to fucking see it. And I want you to eat it, and then I want to hear you review it. I want that so bad.
I think I can go for a burger and maybe get slapped by a tit. You know what I mean? I might work it out.
Not at the same time. I'm sorry. Your tit smells like bacon. So out of all these fucking strip clubs too, the one, and I will tell you, the one that I want to go to is a Palomino. If it is true that you can go there and this is all grandfathered in where you can drink and do whatever you want to and see vagina, dude, I don't care. I think that's the one out on this list. What do you think on this list? Which one do you think fucking rises your... Because now we're going to have the wives with us this time. So, you know, it's not going to just be our choice, but, yeah, it's going to be the wives as well.
Well, honestly, now, fucker, you got me interested in the Spearmint Rhino because now that I know it does have burgers and a real kitchen, I'm interested to see what kind of fucking food and tits they have. That's for sure.
Yeah, shit, I'm all for that. And like I said, that was one that actually was talked about before, you know. So, yeah, I think I'm all on board. I think people just end up going to the – again, you know, we got stuck in the Glitter Gulch thing, and it – that was a bad, bad choice. I think, oh, God. They have no 401k. It's just awful. It's just fucking awful. So, yeah, that is a strip club cover. You know, we wanted to kind of go down that path. And there's other things that I kind of want to go down, too. But I figured the strip clubs was a good way to start for us. And then we can go from there. So That's kind of our content on this one. You know, we're going to throw this one out there. Again, what we're going to try to do is on the next two, just kind of, it's going to be a kind of an open-ended format. We're going to shoot the shit. We're going to have some guests on. We're just going to talk about our trip and just kind of make it fun.
I think it'll be the next four is what we intentionally decide to do. Yeah. If we're going to do two pre-Super Bowl weekend shows, and then we'll do a recap during Super Bowl weekend while we're there in Vegas, and then we'll do a recap after we get home and talk a little about everything that went on. So, again, like we did Zorkfest, we're going to have a whole Super Bowl special weekend for you guys coming up, man.
No, exciting. Dude, that'll be cool. And actually, hopefully, if my plan works, which, you know, sometimes my plans don't fucking always work, I'm driving on my side. So I'm going to throw equipment in the car and we'll set up somewhere and we'll actually do. And again, that podcast is going to be like a, you know, it might be kind of rough sounding, but it's going to be a live kind of free for all. Nothing but fun. And we'll have plenty of recordings too. I want to make sure that we get recordings. I already got a couple people lined up, some friends of ours that are very knowledgeable that live there on the ground. It's going to be fun, dude. Like I said,
we're going to be talking to people, getting stories and all kinds of shit from them. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yep. It'll be awesome. So with that being said, we're going to wrap it up. So you can find us on VegasConfessionsPod@gmail.com. You can also call us on a hotline, area code 559-461-7488. I wish there was a quick little, like something you could put with that, like 559, suck your ass or something. I don't know, something that people would remember, but I haven't threw that together yet. we've also received letters, which is awesome. So far, some great feedback from everybody. And we actually had feedback like, hey, I wish you guys would shut the fuck up and just quit rambling and get to the fucking point. Actually, we haven't received that yet, but I'm sure it's fucking coming down the pike. I'm pretty positive. Not now that I fucking said it's all out there.
Thank you, Shane.
Yeah, right. What do you got on your side, bud?
Again, guys, we thank you guys so much for listening, man. This is so much fun for us, and we really hope you guys are enjoying it. Do us a huge favor by liking and subscribing to us on all of your favorite podcast apps. It definitely helps people know we even exist, and it makes people available to us so they can actually hear us too. So again, if you guys want to reach out to my brother, he's Shane Mills on Twitter. I'm Julian Romero 559 on Twitter and Facebook. And again, all these stories and all these events that we do and make videos of all of them, they're on YouTube. You can find them at JRomero 559. We are also starting a little something different as well. At the end of every episode, we're going to have a different song on. So if you guys have a song request, make sure you guys are sending those in. The next one is going to be sent out for Eric Rosenthal. This is for you, brother. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, everybody.
Hit it.
To get down, I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone because I get stupid. I mean, outrageous. Stay away from me, it's be contagious. Cause I'm a winner, no, not a loser. To be an MC is what I choose. Ladies love me, girls adore me. I mean, even the ones who never saw me, like the way that I rhyme at a show. The reason why, man, I don't know. So let's go, listen up, cause I'm gonna keep you in step. I got an idea that I wanna share. You don't like it, so what? I don't care. I'm number one, go uno, I like calm. Bring all the suckers, cause all of them I'll stomp. Won't neglect, but I will protect all of my followers, cause all I want is respect. I'm not a boxer, but the man who rocks her. A slick brother that can easy outfox her. Cause I'm Bob, the last name basic. And on the mic, I'm known to be the freshest. So let's start, it shouldn't be too hard. I'm not a sucker, so I don't need a bodyguard. I won't press wear bulletproof vest. Don't smoke Buddha, can't stand sex, yes. nation. I'm at the bases in. I'm kinda stingy, that's why I don't wanna win. A funky rhyme to a foe or a good friend. Now listen up, cause I want you to comprehend. Cause I'm the leader, the man, superior. I take care of ya, and then you get weary. So just sit, my mind will not counterfeit. The record sells, which makes this one a hit. It won't hurt to listen to Red Alert. Take off the shirt, make sure I don't hit the dirt. I like the kids, the guys, the girls. I want the drugs, cause this is raw based world. I'm on a mission, you better just listen. Tell my rhymes, cause I'm all about this and cause.